TV.
Yeah, Sundays are rough. Sundays are rough days for me. I think there are several reasons, none of which I want to get into at this time. I don't want to take time away from the main topic of the show, which is the Earth. But, you know, it was a slow day, and I said to Maria, I said, let's do something. And she said, okay, let's go to the gym. And I thought, oh, no. But it was a great idea. But I was really not feeling the gym. But I get free membership over at LA Fitness because I'm old. She has to pay for it because she's young. She's 11 years my junior. So anyway, so we went to the gym, but I knew I was going to need some music. I never listen to music when I work out. Never listen to music when I run, especially not when I run. I'm paying attention to my surroundings, paying attention to my form, constantly thinking. But in order to survive the gym today, I needed to listen to music. Again, very unusual. So I put these headphones on. And I wasn't into resistance training. I mean, life is one big resistance training. All life is a struggle against heavy shit. And then we go to the gym and purposely pick up heavy shit over and over again. It is absolutely absurd and nearly insane. And yet, one has to do it to keep one's joints, muscles, bone density working properly. But it's borderline insane. So I didn't have it in me to do that. I do that, but I didn't have it in me to do it today. So I went up to the... And it's been cold here. I know I have no right to complain. My sister told me, I said, it's cold. She goes, before I even got the sentence out, do not complain about your weather. But I will say this. This morning in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, it was 33 degrees with a wind chill of 20. It's very unusual. For here at the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. By the way, I am Martin Zender, and you are at the edge of the bottom. Yeah, the edge of the bottom. That's the key, the bottom. Oh, it's not supposed to have a wind chill of 20 at the bottom. And I know what you're suffering through up north. I lived up north for 50 years. I get it. I completely get it. That's why I'm down here. But I empathize with you folks. It's a struggle. Talk about struggling against resistance. Everything gets harder when you're cold, right? You know what my saying is, it's better to be depressed and warm than depressed and cold. So I go up to the, I say that I'm going to go to the treadmill because I didn't run today because it was too cold. I am going to run tomorrow. It's going to be the same temperature, but I can't take 2 days off. I am addicted to running. I am. I need it to keep the juices flowing, to keep my brain going. It is not a good day when I don't run. So I must run tomorrow. So I fortunately located a snap-on hood to my raincoat that has wind protection too. I think there's going to be more wind chill tomorrow. I'm not really prepared for the cold weather, you see. I know I've gotten soft in my old age. It's true. Maybe that's why I run further to prove to myself that I'm still the man I used to be. So I went up to the treadmill, and I didn't have it in me to run. Not at 2 in the afternoon, whatever it was. So I just said, I'm going to put it on incline. I'm just going to walk. I'm just going to just like pretend like I'm trudging up a freaking mountain. Da, da, da. What song do I put on? Da, da. One of the greatest songs ever written. Da. One of the greatest rock and roll songs ever written. Da, da, by Steppenwolf. It's called Hey Lordy Mama. Right, hey, Lordy Mama, it's all right. One of the greatest rock songs ever. So I put Hey, Lordy Mama on repeat. And I probably listened to it 15 times over and over again. And I closed my eyes for 30 minutes. Just trudged up a mountain. Say, God help me, get me in on track here. And that's when the revelation hit. Ladies and gentlemen, I am telling you all this to set the stage for a revelation concerning the Earth. That's right. Terra Firma, the third planet, third rock from the sun, the very rock we are standing upon. And I began thinking about Peter's prophecy in 2 Peter 3, verses 7 through 13, about this earth being destroyed. And I got an insight, I got a relationship between that and the crucifixion of Christ and what happened with the earth at the crucifixion of Christ. I'll just tell you the crazy thing right now. I'll tell you the crazy thing right now, right off the bat. Is that, okay, is it speaking relatively, and this is me, processing a bunch of information downloaded into my head over the last 40, 45 years, and it is this. The earth wanted to explode after the crucifixion of Christ. There was a shudder of the earth at the crucifixion of Christ. The earth was created by God to be the stage on which his son would battle the powers of evil. Oh, the earth is a special place. Again, it was the stage for the showdown between good and evil, when the fight would be anything but fair, when his son would be pinned upon a Roman stake naked. And it is from that, it was from that position of weakness and vulnerability that the fullest fury of satanic attack would come against him. Because it was not a fair fight among the celestials. It was not a fair fight when the Son of God was in his glory, the glory he had with the Father before the world was. It would have been an unfair fight then. And Satan says, of course you could vanquish me from your lofty position at the right hand of God. But. And so we know what happened. The Son of God, the exalted Son, became flesh, took on flesh, came to earth to battle the powers of evil. This is Star Wars. This is Lord of the Rings. This is Rocky. This is every David and Goliath type movie or novel or play you can think of to the nth degree, because this was the ultimate. In fact, this is the plan upon which all these other productions, whether Shakespearean or otherwise, are founded upon. And so on this, I want to call it godforsaken, on this godforsaken planet, but we know that it's not godforsaken. It's God planned and it's God sustained, but it is on borrowed time. And the revelation, the shock is that it, speaking relatively as a man, it should have happened at the crucifixion of Christ. So awful was that scene, so horrendous that the Son of God would be murdered by his own creation. You know, all is out of God, but all is through Christ. All creation came into being through Christ. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Let no one talk you out of that truth. All creation came into being through Christ, the image of God. The origin of the creation of God. And he was killed, murdered by his own creation. Of course, this was in accord with the counsel and the foreknowledge of God for the salvation of the world. We know that. But it still sucked. It was still horrible. And I have never been comfortable since I've learned of these things, walking upon this, the same stage upon which our Lord was crucified. The same stage that is soaked with the blood of the Savior of the world. Never been comfortable here based on knowing that. On knowing that information. On knowing of the crucifixion of Christ, where it happened, and at this stage, this earth was created for that showdown, and of course, to bring about, well, I'm going to get to that. I was going to say, to bring about people who would be tried, who would suffer, not to the measure, not to the degree, but the same kind of suffering suffered by their Savior. both for the earth, Israel, and for the heavens, the body of Christ. At the crucifixion of Christ, there was darkness over the land for 3 hours. You'll find all this information in Matthew 27. There was an earthquake, Matthew 27, 51. The darkness, Matthew 27, 45. The temple veil was torn in two, Matthew 27, 51. And many dead people raised from the dead. The earth regurgitated its dead, Matthew 27, 52. Yes. But the two events I want to emphasize are darkness and earthquake. Matthew 27, 45, Matthew 27, 51. Darkness and earthquake. The earth shuddered at the crucifixion of Christ. And the earth wanted to blow up then. The earth is going to blow up. And I got evidence for you. I got a prophecy from 2 Peter. The earth is going to blow up. It's going to explode. And I know when it's going to explode. It won't be the end of God's plans. It won't be the end of the world. It'll be at the end of this earth. Because this earth sucks. It's profitable. It served a purpose, but it sucks. Canal water. It blows, this earth. It's not a good place. But it is purposeful again. But the fact that this is our home, creeps me out a little bit. Because again, this earth has soaked up the blood of Christ. And I have felt this way for a long time. I made a video probably 9 years ago now, and my friend Sharon in Cleveland and her daughter Francesca, they love this video. Sharon says she watches it over and over again. It's called The World Hates Us. And I was in a mood that day, let me tell you. I think it was 9 years ago. I was in a way. You won't find this in the MCTV catalog. This is from the series Return to Zender, with 151 videos. You can find them at martinzender.com. You go to the left and you see all the different subdivisions, all the different categories of material, and you'll see Return to Zender, and you will find it there. Just scroll down, you'll find it. But I'm going to put a link to it down here. The World Hates Us. Watch it. It'll encourage you. Because the world does hate us. The world hated Christ. You saw what the world did to Christ. World in the Greek is system. World in the Greek is the Greek word cosmos. It's the system. You see, I love life. I don't hate life. I hate the system that's operating. I hate the cosmos. And I'm not a big fan of the planet that is supporting the cosmos. Not a big fan. And when you see what God is going to do to it, he's going to blow it up. Because it has served its purpose. It's a place of ugliness, a necessary evil. God's going to blow the hell up out of it, or blow the hell up out of it, or blow out something. Is it bad? I'm going to read to you that passage. It's going to explode. That's what God thinks of it. Boom. It's going to be a huge explosion. Huge. Because that's what God thinks of it. It's going to blow it up. This earth that we're standing on. But I'm going to get to that passage. He's not going to do it until he has made it up to his son and made it up to Israel. And until he has completed collecting, calling out members of the body of Christ, who again have been and are being tried in the same manner as his son was tried, and who are suffering in the same manner as his son is suffering, had suffered, was suffering. It's a Sunday, sorry folks, I'm just trying to keep it together here, but I got exciting things to say to you. Exciting things to say. So three things. The earth would have exploded at the crucifixion of Christ. That's when it should have exploded. It should have been just like, oh yeah, it should have exploded then. But three things had to happen. Number one, God had to perfect Israel and bring them into a kingdom, give them 1,000 years. Actually, okay, four things. He has to perfect Israel. He has to make it up to him, to the nation Israel, for using her as a guinea pig nation to prove that flesh and blood cannot do the dictates of God. gave them the law, went through the whole thing so that there would be a practical demonstration that flesh and blood cannot follow rules, that we can't do what God tells us to do, even if we had every single advantage. And Israel had every single advantage. She was groomed for that purpose and just blew it every step of the way, in spite of being sure that she could do it. All that the Lord has said, we will do. That's what Israel said at the base of Mount Sinai when Moses brought the Ten Commandments down from that austere protuberance, or mountain, if you will. All that the Lord has said, we will do. Okay, that was a demonstration of human futility. That was a demonstration of salvation from a human is futile. And God had to demonstrate that through Israel. But now he has to make it up to Israel for using them as a guinea pig nation. And he'll do that in 1,000 years. He's given them 1,000 years. I've said this for years. 1,000 years, everybody thinks, oh, it's such an epic thing. It's such a great thing, 1,000 years. And it is, but it's God making it up to Israel. It's like, I got to give them 1,000 years. Because what God is really going for, what God really wants to do, and he will do, is Eon 5, the new heavens and the new earth. And we have no indication that that blows up. No, we don't. God's going to have a new earth after this one blows up. And I'm going to get to that verse. I promise you. We're going to have a new heavens and a new earth. That'll be in Eon 5. Preceding Eon 5 is 1,000 years God gives to Israel. That's Eon 4. We're in Eon 3. Eon 3 is the eon that crucified Christ. That's why Paul calls it the current wicked eon in Galatians 1:4. That's where we are. See that little arrow like at the mall? You are here. Well, in God's Aeonian calendar, at the very worst eon, Eon 3, at the tail end of the worst eon, where things are going to be the worst, the arrow says, you are here. Yeah, you are here. And 1,000 years later, the earth explodes. But God needs to do 4 things. He needs to perfect Israel, give her that 1,000 years, number one. Number two, he has to make it up to his son. That's where the priesthood, his son's going to be a priest on that earth. It's going to be a regenerated earth. It's going to be better. It's going to come back to Edenic perfection. The Garden of Eden is going to come on the entire earth. The Garden of Eden was like a little garden. Okay, it's called a garden. A patch of land. I don't know how big it was, but it wasn't that big. It was at the confluence of the Tigris, the Euphrates, and some other river. No, not the Mississippi River. I'll put it down here. In modern day Iraq, that's where the Garden of Eden was. So the whole earth's going to be a Garden of Eden. That was just like a template. It was like a microcosm of the whole earth's going to be covered like with that kind of goodness. And the curse will be removed. So that's good. That's good. The curse is going to be removed from this earth. Much of the ugliness has to do with the curse. And number three, God has to call out the body of Christ. He has to call out a people from among the nations to rule in the heavens. After this earth is gone. See, Israel will still have a job after Eon 4, the 1,000 years. They'll be on the new earth in Eon 5, but they won't be priests anymore. And Christ's priesthood will also retire. The Melchizedek priesthood will retire because there is no temple on the new earth in the new Jerusalem on the new earth in Eon 5. There's no temple. John says, I saw no temple therein. No temple, no priesthood. But Israel said to be kings. So they are kings. Israel still has preeminence on the new earth. Hate to tell you, but it's true. In heaven, Israel has no preeminence whatsoever. There's neither Jew nor Greek in the body of Christ among the celestials where we are going. And that is the lasting realm. Now, I can't strictly say that because we have no indication that the new earth will end. There's a new heavens and a new earth. After this one blows up, we have no indication that there will be an end to that new earth. We don't know. I said there was 4 things for the life of me. I don't know what the 4th one was. There are 4 things God has to do Perfect Israel. Maybe I counted the kingdom. Yeah, perfect Israel. Bring them into their kingdom. Give Christ the millennial priesthood and prepare the body of Christ. Yeah, that's four. So there's four things. And then 2 Peter 3, verses 7 through 13. But first, I got to tell you a little anecdote. There's a guy in the body of Christ years ago. I love this man. He's since deceased. His name was Herb Dirks, crusty German. And I'll never forget this Bible study at my house in Greenwich, Ohio. And Herb was there. He was from Medina, Ohio. And somebody had gone on vacation, I think, to the Appalachian Mountains. Herb was so crusty. He was just like no-nonsense guy. And he had a really bad stutter. And I felt terrible because I used to stutter. Still do on occasion. But anyway, somebody had gone on vacation. We were having a Bible study at my house, which was a regular occasion. This was 94, probably. Maybe 95. Somebody was talking about visiting the Appalachian Mountains. It could have been the Rockies. It could have been. It was a mountain vacation. They went to the Rockies. They went to the Appalachian. And they were just talking about the beauty of it. And I could just see Herb stewing. Herb was, he was a kind of a big guy. And he was still had that thick German accent. I could see him just seething. I'm thinking, why is Herb getting so upset? These people are talking about this beautiful vacation they had in the majestic Rockies and the gorgeous Appalachian Mountains as the sun rises and the fog settles upon the great Appalachians. Herb was seething. He looked like a volcano ready to blow. Finally, he did blow, and Herb had no problem blowing up. He had no problem interrupting the proceedings. And he said, I'll never forget, he said, it is evidence of the disruption of the world. Everybody's, hang on to your seats, Herb Dirks has a revelation. And he's right. The Rockies are scars, Appalachians are scars from this earth being disrupted. Not only the disruption of the earth in Genesis 1:1, but the flood of Noah. And Herb looked right through all the, oh, are the mountains so beautiful? He looked right through it and said, it's scar from the disruption of the world. And speaking of the judgments that have come upon this earth in the past and that will come upon it again, only on a much grander scale, in that the whole enterprise will explode. I'm rather looking forward to it. I've had enough of it myself. I'm not very taken with it at all. Used to be when I was a child, quite enchanted, north, south, east, west. Mow the grass. And I know I'm in one of the most beautiful spots in the country right now. And I should be enthralled every day. And yet, and while I admit that even God can make the scars of the disruption of the world look good. And the sea, which pictures the roiling, broiling masses of humanity, the sea is often used in Scripture picturesquely, metaphorically, to describe the nations and the world as it is in turmoil with the water bashing the shore and cutting the rocks and blasting the sand, and we send postcards. Greeting you from Fort Lauderdale. It's a beautiful place. and yet it's the earth being washed away by the remnants, by the water, the same water that killed 8 billion people in the days of Noah. The same water that laps up on the shore at Fort Lauderdale, where the little kitties play with their sand buckets and where the turtles come and wiggle their butts in the ground and put out an egg. And then they put a little tape around the egg. This is the sacred spot where a turtle ovulated. You can't come near here. We must protect the turtles. Why? Because they're turtles. I don't know. They're ovulating. Let them ovulate, so they can produce more turtles. Greeting you from lovely, happy Fort Lauderdale. And yet it's all a remnant. Herb wouldn't put up with it. It's a remnant of the flood of Noah. Same water, folks. Same water. This earth is on borrowed time. That's the revelation, really. Number one, the earth should have blown up, wanted to blow up. When Christ was crucified, shuddered. And two, we're on borrowed time. And it makes me look at the earth in a different way. Everybody's out there partying and everything. I'm thinking, we're on borrowed time, folks. And Peter mentions that to the scoffers. The scoffers who say, things have gone on. Where in 2 Peter 3? 2 Peter 3. Verse 3, knowing this, that in the last days scoffers will be coming with scoffing. What else would they come with? Scoffers. Scoffers will be coming with scoffing, going according to their own desires and saying, where is the promise of his presence? We know some in the body of Christ who ask this question. They mock the passage of time. Oh. These scoffers also say, for since the fathers were put to repose, all is continuing thus from the beginning of creation. Peter shakes his head, oh, you poor ignorant souls. For they want to be oblivious of this, Peter says, that there were heavens of old and an earth cohering out of water and through water by the word of God, through which the then world being deluged by water perished. This was the disruption of the world. And in another place, he talks about the flood of Noah. Oh, there have been great disruptions on this earth. It just looks good now in certain places. Even the scars that have been covered with moss and grass and trees. The Appalachians are actually older than the Rocky Mountains because they've been covered. But they're evidence of the disruption. They're evidence of the earth tottering to and fro like a drunkard. Yet Peter goes on and he says, yet the heavens now and the earth, by the same word that declared that that first earth would be disrupted by water, by the same word, the heavens now and the earth, the third, this is the second earth. There are three earths during the Aeonian times. We are on earth number two. Earth number one was disrupted by the disruption just described by Peter. We're on earth number two. Earth number three comes after earth number two is destroyed, and Peter is getting to that. Yet the heavens now and the earth by the same word are stored with fire. This earth is stored with fire. In the core of the earth is stored with fire. Being kept for the day of the judging and destruction of irreverent men. God remembers the irreverent men that have hobnobbed upon this planet. The irreverent men who are even now crawling upon the planet like subterranean creepy crawlers. Now of this one thing you are not to be oblivious, beloved, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not tardy as to the promise, as some are deeming tardiness, some even in the body of Christ, but is patient because of you, not intending any to perish, but all to make room for repentance. Now the day of the Lord will be arriving as a thief, in which the heavens shall be passing by with a booming noise. The heavens now, and the earth is now. The heavens will be passing by with a booming noise. One of the greatest understatements of Scripture. A booming noise indeed. Yet the elements shall be dissolved by combustion, and the earth and the works in it shall be found. The earth and the works in it. You see, we've forgotten of the works in it. All the evil works that have been done by humans. The evilness, the murder, the torture, the horrible things, the crucifixion of God's Son that have happened on this earth. All shall be found. It all shall be found. And it'll be blown up. It'll be exploded. It'll be dissolved by combustion, to quote Scripture. At these all then, dissolving, to what manner of men must you belong in holy behavior and devoutness? In other words, you're on this earth, we're not required to be well behaved, but we are because of the Spirit of God operating in us. But Peter is talking to Israelites who must behave or else. But it does give you a sense of the next world when you see what is going to happen with this one. Hoping for and hurrying the presence of God's day, Aeon 5, because of which the heavens being on fire will be dissolved and the elements decomposed by combustion. There it is in all its glaring, beautiful destruction. Yet we, according to his promise, are hoping for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness is dwelling. I'm hoping for that, and I know that you are too.